Now, our guest today, or right now, I guess, is Mr. Donald Forgione. He has worn many hats, and I'll let you, Donald, tell who you are to the radio audience out there. But he is one of the more important people in the growth, really, of the Florida Folk Festival and the many improvements over the years. And Welcome, Donald.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and thanks for those kind words. You know, Frank and Ann, I was parking cars, so I was a park ranger, and I was parking cars helping a neighbor park at Highlands Hammock State Park. And I see this little Toyota something. It was a little hatchback. And so out of that hatchback came, you know, Ann rolled out, and then, you know, Frank rolled out, and their son rolled out, and then the instruments started coming out, and then this big upright bass. And I said, I don't know who these people are, but I want to listen to them. You know, this looks a little different. So I went ahead and asked to go on break, and I listened to them, and I was just, you know, amazed. And then I had written some Florida folk songs, but I had no idea there was a genre. So I had mentioned how much I appreciate it, and you know how Frank is. He goes, here, play one, and he just gives you his guitar. And it's like, oh, my gosh. And I played one, and he goes, have you heard of the Florida Folk Festival? And I said, no.
Really?
So in 1990, invited me to the gazebo. And what's crazy is, so 33 years later, I got to MC that stage a couple days ago on Friday morning. So 33 years later, I'm MCing and opening up the gazebo stage at the folk festival where I started as a performer.
Named after Ann.
Named after
Frank Ann.
And Frank Ann. That's right.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And then the first one up who I introduced was Lisa Thompson. So I mean, full circle. Wow. In a couple of ways. And as you know, since I work at the Park Service, as you move around, I became the district manager, which this park is in, that particular district. There's five administrative districts. And then being in charge of the festival that you love as a musician, and now you're in charge of it. I liken it, I don't know if everybody can understand, but to me, it's like being a member of the church, and then you're in the pew for years singing, and someone asks you to come and lead the choir. And wow, what a responsibility, and what an honor. And then finally, retired as the director of the Florida Park Service, which this is, of course, one of the 175 state parks. And as the director, if people knew me as a musician, and then knew me as the district manager, and now I'm the director. So, we put some money in this place. You know, we did our best to bring it up and make sure that it's sound and solid, and policies and procedures, things that people don't even think about. But festivals are, if nobody knows what's going on behind the curtain, that's a good festival.
Yesterday, we were at the auditorium where the Elaine was sitting there, and everybody, one of her people was next to her, and somebody was making a complaint that where are the wildlife stickers?
Oh,
they ran out. So the guy got a complaint book and opened it up, wildlife stickers. And we were with another guy that plays bass with Gypsy Wind.
Yeah.
And he was complaining, like, why don't they have two schedules? I mean,
just a schedule instead of
just a schedule, and then have the program.
Mm.
Why can't there be, so that I could just carry around the schedule? That's
right.
And as we brought that up to this man, I looked down at the table, and there was just a schedule. So apparently they already had done that, and we just were not aware.
It is a big stack of them, and I guess many people weren't aware of that.
Yeah. And you know, there's it's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. The folk community is so generous that the majority of everybody you see is volunteering.
Yeah.
So, and then they some show up on Wednesday, some Thursday, some Friday, and it's hard to kind of get the information to everybody. As it would, it, actually, it's a perfect game of, you know, of you tell somebody, whatever that game is called.
Telephone.
Yeah, the telephone game. And this is with literally hundreds of people.
Yeah.
So, but I'm glad they're responsive, and that's what we want. We if we can do something better or stop doing something wrong, that's exactly what we want to do. We're putting on a huge festival here.
No, honestly, I was really surprised and impressed. Like, he seriously just pulled out this notebook of, like, complaints and suggestions. And, like, it was already a couple pages full, and he jotted it down. And, like, I don't know. Yeah. That's amazing. You don't usually encounter that kind of thing.
Okay, so check this out. Then there's a post-meeting. So it's called an AAR, an after-action review. So AAR is a thing that the military uses, fire, stuff. So it's after an event. So we sit down and have an AAR and look at every comment and basically say, how can we do it? How can we make it happen? And then if through the process, if it just can't because of time, money, whatever, then we say, okay, and we set it aside. But we try to say yes with everything.
Right. And we've had tremendous help getting this thing here. Ranger Kim.
Yeah.
Everything in here, she gave us the permissions. We met the blacksmith. That's where the chairs came from.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's been just, just so accommodating for us. I was really surprised that I knew we were going to have our own little spot to do the radio stuff from, but to have our own little cabin, and they made a little sign, we're on program. Like, I don't know, it was just really nice to feel that support and accommodation.
Well, you know, as the Florida Folk Festival is a big deal to Florida, your show is a big deal to Florida. I mean, you guys work, you know, countless hours setting up interviews, setting up musicians, researching. It's a big deal. And I think, the synergy that we have together, we can continue, you know, preaching the word of Florida folk through both of our, you know, mediums.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, even Mark echoed what you said, because when he came down here, he said he didn't know there was such a thing, a genre as Florida folk music. It's there now.
Yeah, really, so Mark was one of my employees. And when I got to a place that he was at, that he was working, and I said, I'm going to the folk festival. And he goes, what? And because I knew he played. And he had one cool song. I said, man, that'd be great. So then I introduced him to Frank and Ann. And
he's told that story.
And the rest is history. I mean, that's kind of what folk people do, mm-hmm. You know. The folk we're I think as a community, we're not stingy, you know. We're not, you know, selfish. We spread the wealth, and we're going to introduce people to people, and that's why the campground's so cool.
Oh, I love the campground.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it seems like everyone has a story. Like Frank Thomas was like, "Hey, have you been to the folk festival?" Or you were, or like Pete was. Like everyone, like, just has someone who pulled them in that they weren't aware that this was even a thing, and then it became like their new home, basically.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. That's how it is.
Well, yeah, Frank. I mean, constantly would say, "Write a Florida folk song."
Oh yeah,
yeah. I do it too. I do it as much as I can on the radio.
Yes,
and,
you do.
People come on there and they start singing relationship songs and everything. I said. One guy one time said, "Why are you always, why are you like that, man? Why are you saying that to me?"
Yeah,
I said, "Dude, this is the Florida Folk Show."
Yeah,
I mean,
well, it touches people. You know, you can talk to people, you could speak to people's head all day long, but when you speak to their heart, it really is magic. And I have a silly little song. It's about a Florida black bear, and so I put some human. You know, I make the little bear human, they talk and stuff. So after I played it one time, this lady comes up and her eyes are like swelled up, and she goes, "What happened to the bear?" Because there's not a ending verse to it like that. It doesn't, I leave the audience thinking. So I look and I was thinking, are you serious? It's a song. But I didn't say that. I'm thinking it. And she was just staring at me. And I said, Well, the bear now lives in a state park. and thank God we have 175 state parks. And she went, she was like relieved. So, and I'm not a great musician and a songwriter. How many, you know, songs did other people affect and kind of change their perspective? And that's the best we could hope for.
Oh, definitely.
Man.
Well, did you ever write a last verse for that bear then?
No. No, you know, in the Park Service, we have something that we value strongly, which is interpretation. And interpretation is science plus a story. So we always want to tell the facts, but we don't want to tell everything. We want to leave you hanging a little bit so you become curious and go research it on your own, because then you're vested in it. So I'm not going to tell you the whole pollution story. I'm not going to preach to you. I'm just going to get you excited. You know,
I love that.
Yeah, and then we just leave you hanging. So I think a good folk song, Florida folk song specific, especially if it's environmental, if it's a historic reference, yeah, we need to finish the story. I need to know how it ends. But if it's environmental, I like to give them enough information to think about, because I'm going to need them in 20 years to fight the good fight when conditions may have changed.
That's right. What are you up to now?
So I have retired from the Florida Park Service after 38 years. And so I have a consulting and speaking business called Tailgate Talks. And I actually have a podcast called Tailgate Talks with Donald Forgione about forest management and wildlife management and park management and concessionaires. And I travel around the United States and I do a lot of good work. So this is my 40th year in the industry. I just have a lot more to give. So you know, my main instrument is percussion. I'm a kit drummer, but you know, I like to walk around with a little drum of some sort. So I even incorporated in some of my keynotes, and they have no idea it's coming. And I strap it on. It's really cool. And then everybody in the audience I just did that in Massachusetts. Now, it's not Florida folk, but the Florida boy is there doing it, you know?
Hey, there you go.
I remember there's one or two years I played music at the Elder Hostels.
Yes.
They used to come to various parks and that sort of thing. And that's when I really, really found out that people from elsewhere, I really want to know what's going on in Florida. What's it really all about?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when I travel, you know, it's funny when they think of, there's two things, I mean, in my experience, they either think of the beach or the attractions. And they go, oh, yeah, I've been to Florida, I've been to Orlando. And I go, well, you've been to Orlando. and I love Orlando. But if you land at the airport and you drive to the attraction, you know, you got to experience I-4, congratulations.
Yeah.
But if you want the real Florida, you know, you need to come off the road. That's anywhere in the United States. So I love them to come and say, when you come to Florida, plan a couple extra days, call me, and we'll go eat some good barbecue, we'll play some music, and we'll go walk in the woods and have a good time.
Take a trip down to the Smallwood store.
Exactly right.
Look at that world down there.
Or the Pearl Country store in Micanopy. And, or walk in the Fakahatchee Strand with water up to your waist.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think I've always thought there should be a card. I know this sounds silly, but there's like a card you get when you move to Florida, and it's like a punch card. And there's some things you need to do, you know, like you need to read The Land Remembered. Yeah, that's a punch. And you need to go to the Florida Folk Festival. And you need to...
Well, I've already got two punches on my card. Yeah. What else?
And you need to hike the Fakahatchee. To understand,
darn it, I got
to
get that one.
And you need to listen to the Florida Folk Show.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, you could talk about water, you could talk about the Everglades, but walking in the Everglades in slow motion, because it's a slow motion hike, because you just can't push the water, that's really cool.
So you can go out there with Clyde Butcher.
Exactly right, yeah. Exactly right.
What did you think about the Path to the Panther? Have you seen that yet?
Oh, it's amazing.
Unbelievable.
I mean, amazing, unbelievable. it you know.
We're talking about a documentary film about the Florida Wildlife Corridor, that the fight to stretch that thing all the way across the state. And Carlton Ward, the photographer, I guess he rigged up 1,000 cameras out in the woods.
Yeah, he had I think he had like 5 or 6 other camera trappers helping out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
amazing.
He got
hit by a hurricane in the middle of all that.
He's so good to work with. When I was the director, we worked with him on a couple things. And he's a great guy, and they do great work. I mean, it's just perfect. If you're not touched by that, you know, call me and let's have a talk.
But yeah, no, that documentary was really interesting, just to see like how much like failure and frustration they had to go through just to get like some decent shots. I don't know. It's a lot of work with like not a lot of reward until you finally get that nice one shot that you were hoping.
If you're walking out in the woods and you see a panther, it's gone immediately or
instantly
disappears. It doesn't just sit there and let you walk up to it.
Right.
You know? But in this case, it's a camera, and these cats are acting natural. They're walking natural, little babies with them, and I mean, they discovered panthers they didn't even know about.
I know.
It's stunning to see. It really is.
And they piece it together, you know, to make a cool story. It's amazing. I know that I walked out. I was, you know, camping, and I walk out. It was at night to do what some of us do at night, and I was over there, and I accidentally startled the deer, and he startled me, and we both looked at each other, both like, oh my God, what do we do next? And we were so close to each other, but didn't know. You know, that's really neat. But that animal, you know, it stares at you a little bit. Same with like a black bear, you know, it has to kind of go, huh? But panthers are gone.
No, I think another really powerful thing in that movie was towards the beginning, they show like a panther that got hit by a car. And actually, like yesterday, I get the panther mortality notifications that yesterday an uncollared male 4-year-old panther was presumably struck by a car and killed. And, you know, it's just like words in an email that I see, but to actually see like in color and high definition this beautiful creature dead on the side of the road because someone hit it with their car. It was just, I don't know. It was really powerful.
We saw one this morning, a deer on 136 between.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too. There was a vulture hanging out on top of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I don't know. It's, you know, not a lot of people are even paying attention to the panthers dying on the roads like that. And even, like, I pay attention to that, but I still had never seen the actual image of it. Like, and I don't know. That was an important thing to show, I thought.
Well, I think that film now is being shown all over the country.
Yeah, and it's available streaming now on
Disney X and
Disney Plus and
Hulu,
Nat Geo, or I don't even know.
But
one of those streaming services.
Diane and I went to the first one that they had at Tampa Theater, and he had his whole team there, you know. And I met a guy named Daniel Kinzer from Hawaii that's on that
on
his
team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he has now hooked up with a couple people in Land O'Lakes area.
Oh yeah.
Own a lot of property there, and he's got some sort of a commune type idea, all these different people from different walks of life that meet there every so often. And and it was a coincidence because he contacted me because he thought I knew would know Bobby Henry, you know, because he saw a story I had written years ago. And then we got to talking then about the wildlife corridor, and he says, yeah, I was the guy on the end, you know. And so,
wow. Yeah, you have to be a great photographer. Also, you have to have an unbelievable amount of patience, and you're kind of a mosquito test because, you know, when you're out there doing some filming, it's just there's mosquitoes, I'm sure, on you all the time. And you can't wear, you know, you got to be really clean, like almost smell. You can't smell like any product, you know, because they'll so you can't use DEET or anything. You're out there. Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Wow. So you're off this weekend?
Yeah, so I'm emceeing. I'm really grateful that I'm still participating in the festival in a bigger sense, and so I emceed a couple things last year, three or four stages last year, and same way with this year. And I'm emceeing the amphitheater tonight, closing out the festival.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
I'm excited about that, and it's a humbling experience.
And I want to give you out your podcast address, www.tailgate-talks. Tailgate's all one word, tailgate-talks.com.
Well, thank you very much. I'm just trying to continue to spread the word of good land management and park management across the nation.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, Donald, thank you so much for everything you do and for stopping by and giving us a little bit of your time today.
Well, terrific. I'm honored to be here, and I appreciate what y'all do.
All right. Well, we'll see you around the festival.
See ya. Thank you.
Bye-bye.